I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Droughtlander is finally over. I'm Rachel Goodman, and I'm here with Lee Broadway, and we are going to be breaking down Outlander Season 5, Episode 1. We have waited for so long for this moment to be here. And on top of that, if you stay tuned until the end, we have some news and we have some page to screen information too, where we talk about how the television show is different from what happened in the books. So Lee, this is your first time on the panel. We were talking before the show, and my question to you, just for everybody listening at home, is who's your favorite character in Outlander?
Well, Jamie, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us why.
Well, you know, when you see a man like Jamie, he takes you back to when chivalry and a man's character, it was so important. And it's so exciting to see this beautiful couple, you know, they've raised their children. They're living in another time and place. It's so romantic. And there just seems to be a lot of hope in their relationships and their children's relationships. And it was so exciting to see the wedding. I love a good wedding.
Yeah.
And it was so romantic and beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, the wedding. It was amazing. Just to kind of let you guys know, too, when I was on the show last year, I promised I would read the books. And yes, I have read up through 4. So I read up through Drums of Autumn. I am reading Fiery Cross as we watch Season 5 because they are supposed to correlate. Obviously, with everything going on with Murtaugh, though, things are just changing. And I'm going to talk about some of that and talk about some of what I noticed, too, from doing my reading of the books. Elizabeth Brown, I'm giving her a shout out because she's one of the reasons why I ended up reading the books so that we could talk about them, because Elizabeth Brown is in the chat and she is our resident Outlander reader who is always here to tell us what's different about the books versus what we're seeing. So we're going to touch on that. Let's talk a little bit more about the wedding. So coming back after such, you know, a long hiatus, what were your initial thoughts seeing Jamie with Brianna? That's the big thing.
Oh, that was so exciting. I loved it when he walked into the room and she had her back turned away from him and he saw her and she took his breath away because she looked so beautiful. Was just a touching moment during the series this evening.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that emotion and the passion that you can feel, you know, from such an important event.
Yeah. I think what I loved about it is that Brianna, I feel like she has two fathers. You know, obviously, Frank, who's no longer living, but it was a challenge for me. Well, it was a challenge for me sometimes. Like when we had moments where Brianna was talking to Claire and Brianna or Claire said dad, I was like, but do they mean Jamie now or Frank? Because it was so touching to actually hear Brianna call Jamie dad. And I was like, wow, this is a powerful moment. And it was just very emotional. And Jamie finally gets to be a father the way that he always wanted to be. And he has her in his life. And that, to me, was such, like, I was like, oh, like, so many things.
It was a powerful moment.
I was like, this is, like, why I love this show so much. And then when Brianna said, je suis prêt, I am ready. And I almost feel like she didn't even realize, like, what she was saying exactly. Like, I don't know if she called back to it on purpose. But Jamie, his expression, what did you think of that moment where she uses that phrase and says that she is ready?
It was so exciting because she was making a decision, an important decision in her life, and walking down the aisle with someone that she loved so much. And Jamie's heart was just so moved by this, you know, time in her life when she's becoming a woman and she's growing up and she's in a sense growing away from him. And he had this conflict of, you know, wanting his daughter to always be, you know, close to him and by his side. But, you know, she's taking a step out into the world and becoming a woman on on her own, and she's going to be living a new life. And I think that was, you know, a bit of a conflict in his heart.
Yeah.
He was struggling with that moment.
Especially because for anyone who hasn't seen the other seasons in a while, especially because Jamie really did not get to be with her and spend time with her because she was in, you know, the 1960s and grew up in such a different... She grew up without Jamie. And... So to see them at least get to share this special moment together, and for him to be able to walk his daughter down the aisle, it meant so much to me to see this happen after everything that they've been through. It was just such an exciting and heartfelt moment. You had mentioned too that when the actual ceremony was going on, that Jamie and Claire actually repeated the vows to each other.
Yes, they were having flashbacks to their own wedding.
Yeah.
And that was so moving as they were reciting, you know, the verses of the wedding vows after, you know, the preacher would speak. They would look at each other and they were remembering that special moment when they were married. It was just so moving.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me because one, okay, so someone, we have Gracie and Ryan in the chat. Is it wrong that I'm kind of loving Jamie being passive aggressive with Roger? And that's great that, you know, thank you for that comment because that was my next point, is Jamie's reaction to Roger. And okay, so fine. Like we know that they had the miscommunication in season 4 where Jamie thought that Roger was the attacker who had hurt Brianna.
Yes.
But then, two, the big thing is Roger's decision his decision not to go with Brianna at first, and that he only decided that later, and it's like Jamie's not letting that go. Understandably, but just the fact that, you know, we have this tense relationship between Jamie and Roger, it almost felt like, I mean, every season we see them age, and it almost felt like Jamie had become like Grandpa Jamie. They're the kid, the little kid.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And then he had like his shotgun, and he was ready to like... So, yeah, I just, it was like suddenly I'm feeling like this family dynamic where Roger just wants to leave.
He really did. I felt like he was in conflict and that he wanted to make a decision about what he should do, what's the right thing to do. But I think they'll work it out.
Yeah.
I think they will eventually.
I'm thinking that Roger wants to leave. And I know this is kind of a prediction, but he even said to Brianna, there's this whole sense of community. And even Roger, who comes from, he's Scottish, like he has this background. When he took Brianna to North Carolina, he wanted her to stand with him when they called the Mackenzie name. So now Roger showing this side of him, he just wants to get out of there. He wants to, he just wants to go back to the future, or his time period, not necessarily our future, but his present. He wants to go to his present, obviously take Jeremiah, take Brianna. He has stressed it is not the greater family. It is the three of them. They are a family, which is in complete juxtaposition with what Jamie and Claire and the community are building.
It's difficult because he remembers life as it was, or maybe as it is. And he's thinking, well, what's the best life? Is it life here, my community here, or is it where I came from? It's a difficult decision to make.
Yeah.
Because I think there are pros and cons, you know, for both. But at the same time, I think he's enjoying that sense of community and family and strength that perhaps he hasn't experienced in his own time.
Yeah. And we don't know how much time Jamie and Roger really have had to bond. Aside from the shaving scene.
If you can call that bonding.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, how do you and your father-in-law bond? Well, he shaves my face. But
a little cut here, a little cut there.
Yeah, probably better than Roger doing it, though. But I get the sense that Roger does not want to. He definitely doesn't want to stay. He is not used to this way of life. He's not used to this time period. I feel like Brianna acclimated to it much more quickly.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that now, you know, he's trying to get back, but we have everything with Jamie where he's enacting the fiery cross. so that he's trying. And like, this is jumping to the end, but you know, let's talk about this now. The moment where Jaime lights the cross and looks at Roger first. He just looks at him like he's expecting him to jump up and join the cause. And Roger, he doesn't do anything.
I don't think his heart's in it. I don't think that's where he feels he should be or what he should be doing. He's not committed to staying. So he's in great conflict about what the right thing to do would be for him and his family.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know, too, that Roger is completely committed to Jeremiah after he, you know, basically pokes himself and then he smears the blood across Jeremiah's face. So, or, you know, his forehead, not his face, per se. But it was just, I felt like, as I was watching this, that we're seeing Frank, kind of, the better parts of Frank. Where Frank decided that he wanted to be Brianna's father, despite the fact that there was not a blood connection. And with Roger, we're like, you know, 99% positive that this is not his biological son.
Most likely.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's always, like, you know, not to have TMI here, but they, you know, there's always a risk, even if somebody pulls out. So it's like, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm still not 100% convinced that this is not, you know, we just don't know.
We don't know yet. I think it's a little early to tell. But
yeah. So, all right. Let's talk a little bit about what Brianna finds out at the wedding with Stephen Bonnet.
Well, I watched her and her emotions, and she was standing there in shock.
Yeah.
She was in shock. She wasn't quite sure what she should do about what she was hearing.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite elements of this show, and I loved it from season one, but in season four, after the rape and the way that Brianna reacts to it, it's such a heartbreaking moment, and it's so relatable for, you know, even if you haven't been through that, but if you have, it's like I love the way that they handle these situations because it really, you know, shows what a person can go through after experiencing something like that. And that it goes beyond the actual attack itself. Now we're in a place where she, just hearing his name, just hearing that he's around, the PTSD.
Yes, of that the trauma. Mm-hmm. Those difficult memories and of that experience.
And that Brianna is trying to be strong and not talk about this. And obviously we want her to talk about it. We want her to open up with Claire. We want her to open up with Roger. But it's hard for her, and it's hard for anyone who's been through this to talk about it. And, you know, how does she even admit what she knows right now?
I mean, I think it'll take a while for her to come to that place and be able to talk about it openly and feel comfortable about sharing what happened to her.
Yeah. And especially knowing, I mean, she thought when she went to visit Stephen Bonnet in the jail, she thought she was putting it all behind her. And then the idea that he might be dead and now they have definitely, this is like a Lord John Grey is the one who actually tells Jaime that there have been Bonnet sightings. So now it's like, okay, well, no, he is definitely not dead. And on top of that, I think that her concern, Brianna's concern, is that she went to the jail cell and told Stephen that she was pregnant with his child. Who's to say he's not going to come after her and the child now?
Well, that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she's probably wondering, you know, what will happen if she begins to share her, you know, feelings and just basically open up about the experience, what she's seen, what she's feeling and thinking.
Yeah.
Very difficult time for her.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even with somebody that you're with. Like, so when we see the night where we get I loved the Valentine's Day touch. So before I talk about that, though, just in case anyone was not watching the coverage of the premiere on Thursday, I actually got to go. And when I went there, we're going to talk more about this in news. But when I went, Sam Heughan was actually standing right in front of me. And he was, yes. And he,
very exciting.
And he was announcing to all the press that it was going to be, Outlander was going to be released early on Valentine's Day.
Yes, I read that. Yes, on Twitter.
I heard the news from Sam Heughan. So
it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. I will never forget this. This will be like a memory I take with me in my grave. Like, but yeah. So with, I just felt like it was a very nice touch for us to see. We see Jocasta and Murtaugh. We see Claire and Jamie. We see other random couples. We see, and then of course we see Roger and Brianna on their wedding night. And just like going back, you know, as we listen to, you know, obviously Roger's singing a very modern song, but we got this to be serenaded by his music.
It's and beautiful.
Like witness love. And that's one of the elements there. That's one of the things I love about this show.
I agree. The relationships are so powerful. And I love the way they're handled with delicacy, intimacy, dignity. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It shows the true essence of what a relationship should be.
Yeah.
Commitment. True commitment.
And especially with what they've all been through. This is like, you know, this is not a soap opera where people just break up after a couple of, you know, issues that they have. This is adults fighting through challenges that they have in marriages. Jamie and Claire, everything they've been through. Murtaugh and Jocasta, while they have not really been together, even seeing what they go through with Murtaugh being on the other side of the law right now. It's fascinating.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And they remain together and they fight for their relationships.
Yeah.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah. Now, we did get with Jocasta that a Mr. Duncan, I think they said his name was Hines, if I'm remembering that right. But in any case, first name Duncan, that he proposed to her. And that was like the one sad part of this montage is that he basically didn't stop her from saying yes, Murtaugh.
Mm-hmm.
How did that make you feel?
I felt that I'm not sure that they're actually ready, you know, to move forward.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that Murtaugh, unfortunately, Jocasta's always been somebody who, believes in, you know, not just marriage, but, you know, handling her affairs. And even with Brianna, when they found out Brianna was pregnant, getting her a suitor and having her marry somebody before the baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jocasta, it makes sense characteristically that she would be interested in getting married again. But with Murtaugh, the fact that, you know, you had mentioned that he's not ready. And I agree. He's going through too much. He's just not in, we're not in the right time.
He's not in the right space to make that type of a commitment.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Murtaugh, he's one of the few people, characters who knows about the time travel element. And so he knows that the revolution is coming and that there's more on the way. I think that he knows that this would not be a good time for him to be with anybody.
Probably not the most, you know, appropriate time.
Yeah.
Yeah, to enter into a relationship.
Okay. Billie Jean Girl 24 says, Bree's baby has brown hair. I've noticed that. So maybe the baby is Roger's or it's just me hoping. Yeah, that. And shout out to Billie Jean Girl 24. She was over when I was doing the Doctor Who panel. I saw her over there. So shout out to her for coming back. Yeah. Elizabeth Brown, in the books, Jocasta marries Duncan Inez. Inez was his name, not H. At the gathering, at the same time as Roger and Brianna. Yeah, so it was, so here's the thing, is that we know that there was no Murtaugh in the books after the Battle of Culloden. So it's
correct.
Very, very different. And then Gracie and Ryan says, wasn't Duncan the same guy Bree caught John having sex with last season? Possibly, I think. But I get the sense that, I mean, obviously, Jocasta's not marrying this person for money. She's not marrying this person for love. She's marrying it more for society expectations and just to, you know, be a married woman. So we had mentioned Murtaugh not being in the right place. We're seeing more of the pinch from the British in the form of Governor Tyrone. What did you make of Governor Tyrion, one, showing up at the wedding and harassing Jaime about Murtaugh?
Well, I thought it was a little odd and out of place. I can't understand really why he felt he needed to be at the wedding.
Yeah.
It seemed awkward to me. I didn't really understand why he felt his presence was needed at the wedding.
Yeah. And why he would, even if he was going to be at the wedding, why he would choose the ceremony to talk about what Jaime owed him.
Agreed. It seemed out of place.
Yeah.
Inappropriate.
Absolutely. It's like, okay, set up a business meeting for this later, not on his daughter's wedding
yes.
day. Yeah. And it just seems like he's very, I mean, if the goal is to show us that this character is just going to keep pushing this, I mean, we saw at the end of season four that was like the last letter was you need to find Murtaugh and track him down and bring him in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is Tyrion's push. This is like the big, you know, now we're seeing Jaime getting ready. And the big moment was, I mean, one, Tyrion like coming back repeatedly to say, you need to find this man. But two, that we got this bookend, you know, at the beginning and the end of the episode where we see, one, we see the pinch with Tyrion, but two, we see that Jaime, that there's a vow that Murtaugh gave to Jaime after his mother passed away. We see that at the beginning, and we see it at the end with Jaime saying, you know, I'm revoking your vow. How did that moment make you feel?
I felt Jaime seemed a little bit uncomfortable, you know, about what the expectations are for what he's being asked to do. He doesn't seem like he's truly on board with what is being asked of him.
Yeah. I think that I love whenever any show has an episode where they do the book ending thing. So number one, that was very powerful to me. We got to see young Jaime. We got to see young Jaime in a kilt. We got to see adult Jaime in a kilt. And so just one, this book ending thing, we see it with Murtaugh, but we also see it with Jaime when he stands in front of the fiery cross in his kilt and says, basically enacts this idea of contractually making a vow to a person and how you can't break that.
That's right. He's a man of honor. And I think that's one of the aspects of the show that I love is that when you think about that time in history, when your word meant something, mm-hmm. people kept their vows.
Yeah.
When they made a vow to someone to do something, regardless of what the cost may be, they kept their word.
Yeah.
At all costs.
And no matter how uncomfortable, it was still like if you made a promise, you kept that promise. And what I love too is that at the end of the episode when we had the executive producers discussing their decisions, one of the things that they brought up was this idea that in season four you had the Frasers trying to acclimate into society at this time. Now we are bringing back the Scottish nationalism and this pride at being a Scot. And that, to me, like I had goosebumps watching.
I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And not letting go of your culture and your background. And like the fact that Jaime was saying, oh, yeah, well, he wants a Scot. He's going to get one. And it's like I felt like we were going back. Like I felt like we were going back to season one where it was very, very Scottish. And we're back to that.
Yes.
And it just made me so happy. And I felt like I was right along there with them. I just loved like, you know, we got the undying love between Murtaugh and Jaime, and this undying love between Jaime as a Scotsman too, and his pride.
Yes, he's very proud of his heritage.
Yeah, and all the different families who stood up and joined him, and so it was just a very powerful way to bring us right back in and get us started with season five. I think the only other thing to really mention is that with Jaime, he is being tasked by Lord Byron to go off and find Murtaugh. It's official, like he is being sent away. And I noticed that with Claire, whereas in the past, she has given more of a fight now she's more understanding of what has to be done, especially because this is America. She knows all about the American Revolution. And, I mean, I know Murtaugh said there's always going to be another war, but we know.
We know the outcome.
We know. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts on this episode?
I'm excited to see what happens in the next episode, because there's so much tension and the relationships are building. And I think that the characters are going to be developing in an interesting way. I think there are going to be some surprises during the next season. So I really enjoy the relationships between Jamie and Claire. And I'm fascinated to see how integrated she actually becomes with the decisions he's going to have to make, and how on board she's going to be in the direction he decides to take, you know, with his commitment with the war and so forth. So
yeah, and I'm trying not to. I haven't read ahead when Outlander actually gets to the American Revolution, but there's like, you know, there's certain things that I know are going to happen. So I'm trying to, like, separate that from what I know from the show. Because you never know. They could, you know, they're going in a very different direction with Murtaugh, obviously.
Yes.
So who's to say that we're going to stay on the same page? Plus, when I did an interview with Richard Rankin, who plays Roger, one of the things he told me is that in the interview, and if you want to check any of these interviews out, you can go on AfterBuzz TV's channel, on our Red Carpets channel, and you can see all these interviews I did with them. He said that they're pulling not just from book 5, but book 6 too, for season 5. So it sounds like it's a little bit. Yeah.
It's hard to tell what direction they're going to be taking, because they do take pieces and bits from each book and season. So I think it'll keep us on our toes and keep us watching.
Yeah. And even when I was reading the books, even book one, it was pretty faithful, but even book one had its differences. And I remember just like some of the things they had changed. I was like, oh, this is very different. And even the way that you see Jamie and Claire interact sometimes very different. And the way that like, you know, just certain things were a little bit tweaked, or not tweaked. I should say that the show tweaked it. But we'll talk about more with that in our Page to Screen segment, which actually, with the time we have left, what a time to talk about From Page to Screen. So, all right. So From Page to Screen, there's two things I took from the executive producers talking about this. And that was that they mentioned that the gathering of the wedding actually took up a lot more space in the book Fiery Cross than what they showed in the first episode, which made it harder for them to kind of figure out what they were going to do. And then also the kilt, it actually happened at River Run, not in this moment, not at Fraser's Ridge. So they kind of drew that out a little bit longer. Now, there's two things I want to mention just from being, you know, from getting caught up on the books and being aware of the differences. Lord John Grey, he is not in Fiery Cross at all. He was in Drums of Autumn, but they actually tweaked that a little bit too. And we were talking about this before.
Yes, earlier.
But basically, so we know in the show on season 4, Stephen Bonnet, we didn't know if he was dead or alive when Lord John Grey went to the jail with Brianna. Because it was, we just didn't know because the explosion happened and presumably there was no body. So we thought maybe he was dead. But in the books at the end of Drums of Autumn, Stephen Bonnet, so long story short, Lord John Grey, there's a sergeant who knocks him unconscious, and Stephen Bonnet actually helps Brianna take him out of the jail. And so they knew that Stephen Bonnet was alive. That's the whole point, is that there was no mystery.
Yes.
He just was. Lord John Grey, he does not appear in the books he does not appear in book 5 in the Fiery Cross. But there are a series of letters between him and Jamie, which brings me to my next From Page to Screen about this episode. Brianna finding out about Bonnet. So in this, the way that they did it like this, not only in the show, not only is she finding out he's alive, but that he's around. In the books, it was more like she found a letter from Lord John and between him and Jaime, where Lord John Grey said that Jaime was trying to basically find Stephen Bonnet and deal with, you know, like handle him. And so it was just, I kind of like the way they did it in the show better. It was more powerful seeing her reaction, hearing it live from somebody that not only are they looking for him, but that he's been sighted. I thought that was a stronger way to handle it, but nothing against the way they did it in the book, just different. Or the way that Diana did it in the book, I should say. All right, so that is... the only other thing I want to mention, this is a drum... in book four, what I did notice that was very different from the actual season four is that when Brianna gave birth to her son, Claire and Jaime were there in the books. And so I was like, oh, I wish that had not been changed. But very, very different. Okay, so with that, let's get to our news segment.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so there's going to be some pictures going up. The first one is a picture of me with
Sam Heughan.
And this is the red carpet Outlander Season 5 premiere. As I said earlier, Sam Heughan is the one who told me that Outlander would be premiering 2 days early. If you guys all know him as Dougal, he plays Dougal. He is actually not in season 5, but I joked with him because we know his character died in season 1. I joked with him about being in the season, and he was like, yep, that would have been amazing, but no. And then there, we have David Barry, who plays Lord John Grey. He's Australian and quite the comedic guy. He sings. He did not sing for me, but he was very funny. And as I was interviewing him, Richard Rankin actually came up and basically took over the interview. And it was just amazing seeing their chemistry together. I was like, okay, cool. This is fun. There is Diana Gabaldon. She is the author of Outlander as well as the Lord John Grey books. And I told her I was a writer, and so I asked her some questions about what it's like to be a writer and have your books adapted for the screen. She had a lot to say, and she told me that she is involved in, she'll oversee the scripts to make sure nothing is wrong, and she also does get to write some of the episodes, too. Which is every writer's dream.
To maintain the integrity of the original material.
And she told me that it gets to a point where they'll send her the script, even if she's not the writer, and she will look at it. And, like, for example, she told me that one of the characters was saying, like, oh, Lord, or, like, something like that. And she knew that that wasn't how they would speak because this was a Catholic person. And she's like, yeah, nope, they wouldn't say that. So she had the authority to cross it out and rewrite how they would actually speak. Yeah, that is amazing. And there's Richard Rankin. He was really nice. They were all really, really nice. But he was very jokey, too, and just very down to earth. And I just love when you meet the people who you're such a huge fan of, and they are just, like, really good, genuine people. Even Sam Heughan, like, he stopped and took pictures with everybody when he didn't have to, and he kept saying, yeah, like, just, like, everybody involved just kept, like, they were very forthcoming.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, very kind people.
Mm-hmm. Very down to earth.
Yeah. And, yeah, just another picture of Jaime. They were doing a couple of special segments on the red carpet. We did not get to go on the red carpet, but... somebody in their outlet did. And then there is, her name is Candace. She was another AfterBuzz host with me interviewing Duncan LaCroix. And then the actress who plays Aunt Jocasta. I do not have her name. I am so sorry. But the actress who plays Aunt Jocasta. And that was that was my experience on the red carpet.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so it was a blast. I loved it. I am really excited to be back. So I think now is a great time for us to end with our predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Lee, would you like to go first?
Well, I don't know that I actually have a prediction. I think that there are a lot of directions the show could go.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to probably see a lot more tension between the main character who plays Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie.
And also Lord.
Oh, Lord John Lord, Grey.
Yeah, Lord John Grey. So yeah. I think we're going to probably see a little bit of, you know, pushing and a little shoving and, a little more drama there, I think.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I asked David Barry, who plays John Grey, is if he could tell me about the tension, because obviously American Revolution for, you know, we all know how that ends, but Lord John Grey and Jamie would probably not be on the same side.
I think you're right. I absolutely agree.
But something tells me that is not how this is going to play out. And that's my first prediction, is that Lord John Grey is actually not going to be fighting for the British. I think he is going to, his heart is going to guide him and he's going to help Jamie. We know Jamie is really not, you know, on the British side either. He's just right now kind of stuck in a hard place where he has to be, kind of. I think that what's going to happen ultimately is that Governor Tyrone is going to be the catalyst for why Jamie crosses over completely and joins the revolutionaries, because it's going to just get to a point where, you know, obviously Jamie's not going to find Murtaugh, and then Tyrone's going to give him some crazy ultimatum, and I think that he's going to start enacting violence on Jamie and the family. And I think that's really what's going to push Jamie over the edge and say no. And I think that we're still going to get a cabin burning down, because we had that plot point, so... Yeah, those are my predictions for what we may see on the upcoming episodes.
Oh, we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Let me just check in with the chat really fast before we wrap up. Gracie and Ryan, I'm all giddy and I wasn't there. Elizabeth Brown, love the pics, Rachel. Globalist Jomo, great pictures. Gracie and Amazeballs. Oh, Gracie and Ryan, Maria Del Kennedy. Oh, I knew that name. Thank you. And then Glow Loves Jomo says, Lord John would do anything for Jamie. I agree. And that is a great note for us to end. Lee, where can everybody find you?
You can find me at LeeBroadway1@gmail.com or 50plusandfabulous.com.
Awesome. And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter @RachGoodman or on my author Instagram account @RachelRadnerAuthor. If you're a fan of Doctor Who, Stumptown, The Young and the Restless, Narcos, Mexico Season 2, Curb Your Enthusiasm, or Shrill, you can also find me on those panels throughout the week. Until next Sunday, we will see you all later. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Signing off.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.